The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does.
It does.
Always.
Always.
Good morning, Wynn. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. Hey, Ashley, how you doing?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. No one's hurt me yet.
Keep your hand over the buzzer,
that's
Ashley.
It. That's it. Oh, yeah.
Is it one
yeah,
of
you might
days?
Want to this morning.
Well, okay. with Terry, you never know.
You never
well,
do.
True.
But I'm good at using colorful metaphors in a way that they are illegal. Because I know all the right words for the words that we can't use.
Yes.
I digress.
Don't get me in trouble now.
I'll try not to. Anyway, this is Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading. 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You can listen live on KCNR1460.com. And there is a chat room there, which you can get in if you want. I don't pay attention to it. Sometimes Wynn does, but... You can call in to area code 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And there is a video out that has been out for about a week. It's on Facebook. It shows Leonard Modi.
Who? Leonard Modi.
Leonard Modi. It shows him talking, interrupting again. And did I say interrupting people
at
the Board of Supervisors?
What did he do?
Hmm?
What? What did he do?
And Leonard
shut up, shut up, shut up. He kept saying, shut up.
kept interrupting, kind of like when Carpenter's doing right now. But anyway, Leonard... has his own video. It's called Chair Modi. You can watch that. 397,000 people have watched that. Yeah, 397,000 people. And at the very end of that, you can see this great smirk that is priceless by Leonard Modi as he gets up and walks away from his chair.
You mean that was the one that was put together by some good patriots here locally, right?
It was, yeah. And okay. There's
just making sure we're all on the same page.
We are. And there's some fake ads out there talking about how different organizations are taking money under the table, according to Leonard Modi. So, you know, what we really want to do is understand that the corruption is just, I don't think we've peeled back the onion.
Not quite.
As far as we can.
This is a ginormous onion. It's got layer after layer after layer after layer.
Ginormous.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you know, when you stop and think about all the things this guy has done and the views that we've gotten just in less than a week, I mean, we're talking like 400,000 views, and that's just on Facebook. That doesn't include anything else. The Red White Blueprint episode 7 is out. It's an excellent episode. I recommend for everyone to watch it, and you can watch that, the 3 minutes that we've, that has been taken, into context by itself. In the and it's if you want to find it, just go ahead and you can just search engine Chair Modi and you'll be able to come up to it up with it as far as the 3 minute video goes. We've had a lot of things happen this week. Apparently, there's some things going on at the registrar office and
the registrar's office. Really,
mm-hmm.
What could be going on at the
registrar's
office?
Well, you know, there's
office?
Some different things. There were some phone calls that were made. Some people who were not allowed to poll watch. And some people who had to were asked to sign certain statements.
Why are they not allowed to watch? Are they not old enough? Are they pole dancers there? What's going on?
I'm not sure, but there are people who have come forward and said that, and apparently the registrar's office is not supposed to discriminate between any kind of political party, any kind of political opinion. But from what I hear, again, hearing this, I'll get to the bottom of it by, we'll get to the bottom of it by tomorrow afternoon. Apparently there's one person was told that they were involved too much with the recall. That's none of your business. I'm sorry. It's just none of your business. Also, there's a thing going around. There's a statement, apparently, that people are being asked to sign who are observing. Now, there's never been that before. So I'm going to get some really good clarification on there, and I hope we have a good, clear connection, because I have the one, the only Rich on the phone here. And Rich, you know what we know to do. If something out there is going on, we blame it on Richard, right?
Yes.
Blame it on Rich. Hey, no, there was a movie, Blame It on Rio, but we'll change it. Blame It on Rich.
There you go.
So tell us what you have there, partner.
I know. So there's a difference between a poll watcher and a poll worker. Two different things. Anybody can be a poll observer, poll watcher. They cannot say no to anybody. However, the paid poll workers, those are the ones that our registrar has the authority to appoint by law. And I won't say who, but one of our fellow female patriots about a month and a half ago was denied a poll worker position because of her public stance for the recall of Modi. And I asked her, I said, did you get that in writing? She said, no. I said, are you going to? She said, I don't know. I said, all right, I'll take care of it. So I applied for poll worker, and I got the written denial, which you guys have a copy of that. And it basically says, because I have a public position, whether it be for or against the recall, because I have a public position, in order to ensure a fair election, I do not get to be a poll worker, meaning I get to be there paid and appointed by the registrar. I find that absolutely abhorrent and a major violation of freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. The election code, starting at 12,300. Yeah, I know it's boring reading laws, but it's what I do.
No, go ahead.
It talks about these poll worker statutes and what Kathy Darling Allen's role in appointing is. And her only authority in that election code, she may remove an appointed poll worker for cause, but nowhere in there is there anything about how she can determine who gets appointed. She cited some kind of Secretary of State guidance, although I can't find anything on that on the Secretary of State's website, other than they just need to ensure fair and firm and consistent elections. So I have asked Kathy Darling Allen via email in the last couple of days, can you please expound on this guidance that you're talking about? Because I just told her, you're violating my rights. So we'll see where this goes, but let me, she has cemented the fact, and I've surmised this before and others, she's not going to be running this year. She has not announced that, but she will. And this letter is going to do nothing but cement the fact that there's no way she's going to get reelected.
Hey,
because
Rich,
of this blatant discrimination.
Rich? Yeah, just before you go any further, I kind of want to take, nobody's rushing you through this, brother. You can take all the time you need. But I want to go back on what you just said. Now, okay. When I call the registrar office, there is a disclaimer saying that as far as poll watching or anything like that, that the registrar's office does not discriminate, it doesn't matter what your political view is, what your political position is. They say that right out. So what you're saying is that you have been denied and others have been denied being poll workers because of the fact of a statement. How does that fit in the law?
It does not.
Right.
It does not.
Now, when I called, I talked to, I actually called the office on Friday, the registrar's office, and after a bit of a runaround, I finally had someone call me back. Her name was Joanne. She called me from her home because she was working at home. I guess her kids were sick, so she was working at home. And I asked her several questions. I asked her a question about the statement that you had mentioned already here. And I asked her a question about, you know, I asked her where Kathy was, and she said Kathy's on vacation. Interesting that she'd go on vacation the week before we have a special election. But anyway, when I did ask this, I asked one question of this Joanne, and the question I asked of her, now remember, she called me. What I asked her was, as far as when you got the 6,200 signatures of people that wanted to have a recall election, that wanted to recall Modi, how far did you get in counting? Did you just get to a certain number and stop, or did you count them all? And she said, well, we almost, and I stopped her right there. I said, you almost? What do you mean you almost? And she said, well, no. I said, did you or did you not count and verify every single signature? And she paused and she said, I did. We did. It's on our website. Blah, 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 blah. I got very nervous. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but you said almost, so it sort of took me back a bit. You know, I mean, that was the thing. So there are people that believe that they got to a certain point and figured they'd stop counting because it wouldn't look as bad. But, and that's not, you know, that's what people may think. But when I get those kinds of answers, and then I told her I needed to speak to Kathy Darling Allen about something that she had said and something that had been written, and she said, well, I can answer that. And I said, no, you can't. And she said, well, Kathy's on vacation. I said, well, that's fine. I mean, you know, that's fine. She can call me when she gets back. Well, she can't call you till Monday. And I said, we'll just have to, go with what we're being told here and what you're telling me. And then, lo and behold, by 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, I had a phone call from Kathy Darling Allen. She left a message from wherever she is on vacation, stating if this was an emergency to call her back. Well, it's not an emergency on my part.
Right.
But, you know, the thing is as we keep digging into all this stuff, we're finding more and more and more things that are, well, highly irregular. You think?
Well, what about when once things start changing and get the right people into these positions, wait until we have a complete, full forensic audit on the Registrar of Voters office. That includes the elections. And that includes every single thing pertaining to the election. If there's criminal activity, just because they're retired or they quit or they moved on, they went to Montana or Idaho or Texas, does not mean that they're too far away from the long arm of the law. We will take care of business. That absolutely has to happen. So just because they think they're going to be able to sweep it under the rug, no way, Jose. That's not going to happen. Unacceptable.
I've been communicating with Lynn as a member of the Republican Central Committee here regarding the election laws and the registrar's mandate to send the local political central committees a list of the precinct board. It's called a precinct board when you have the inspectors and clerks appointed. And the registrar is supposed to be sending that to the local political central committees. And Lynn has told me they've never received it from Kathy Darling Allen. Now, they can absolutely request it, which I have. I have records acts in for the precinct board members. I will get their names. It's allowed by law for this current recall election. I just sent a records act again to Kathy Darling Allen. I want the complete list of precinct board members for the past six elections. I just picked a number. I went with six. And when I get these lists, I'm going to see a lot of swamp creatures that Kathy Darling Allen has appointed to these precinct boards in order to control the elections at the precinct level. And I'm going to suggest, I'm not in the Republican Central Committee, but now that Wynn knows about this law, he can present it. But 30 days prior, the local political committees can apply to Kathy Darling Allen to have some of the political committee members be precinct board members. And so I think that's where Kathy You know, when she says we need poll workers, we need this, we need that. Nowhere have I ever heard her publicly say, for those of you political parties in Chester County, please contact me 30 days out so we can get some of your folks on the precinct boards. I've never heard Kathy Darling Allen publicly put that out. Gee, I wonder why.
Good question.
Yeah, and you know when it's sitting right here.
I'm talking about it. Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you, buddy.
You know, it's pretty crazy when you stop and think about all this false stuff that's going around. I haven't seen the latest ad by Leonard Modi. But apparently he's written something about, I'm not really clear on what the ad is. Maybe somebody else has seen it and they can call in and talk about it. But from what I understand, talks about money being taken by all these organizations that are trying to recall him that are maybe, quote, under the table money. And, you know, all this ridiculous.
You mean he's accusing
us? Yeah.
Us. Of what he's doing?
Yeah, you're talking about a guy here. This is crazy. This guy was found guilty by the grand jury.
Of
malfeasance. And when he went behind the lines in the car fire, he used McGreeny as one, who was the undersheriff at the time, to help him go back there, pick up some wine, expensive wine, turn on his generator, sometimes having these guys do it as much as twice a day. And it was lowered to a misfeasance somehow. And he censors himself, and then the board selects him, and he's being recalled as the chairman.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Do you think?
What the hell?
Do you think he's got some strings being pulled? I mean, every direction. He's a master marionette operator. He can pull strings everywhere, and that's what he's been doing because he's got something on every single person.
Oh, yeah.
That he requires to benefit him. So he's got something on every single one of them. So that tells you there's some garbage out there that we have operating our county, managing our county, overseeing critical areas of our county, and he's pulling the strings because that's what he does, and that's how he stays in power. That's how he stays in control for now.
Yeah.
Come February 1st, no longer.
Yeah, I hope so. Hey, at the risk of changing the subject, I know when was it yesterday's meeting there at the church on Loma Vista?
Yep.
I have one comment. Karen Ramsam was invited.
Yeah.
She failed to show up. She gave us a whole 1 minute 45 seconds of a video so that she could not be cross-examined. Yes, I will use that word. Cross-examined.
Right.
Because remember, everything she says can and will be used against her in a court of law. She gives us a minute 45 after a two-year pandemic. The first public forum held because the county won't do it. The citizens had to do it. And that by itself should appall everybody. And excuse me, I'm yelling. I'm extremely passionate about this. And we pay her $20,308 a month, salary only. And she gives us a minute 45 of her time. I'm going to go before I start cursing. See you guys.
Bye, Rich.
Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Rich. Rich is absolutely right. I went to the medical forum yesterday at the Pathway Church on Loma Vista, and it was nicely attended. It was pretty well boxed in there. It was a good event. The doctors and other healthcare professionals and teachers were hosting the event and putting information out there, taking questions, telling us what they know to be fact by what they do in their specific industry, what they've observed, what they've witnessed, what they've felt, what they've had to participate in. And it was good. It was eye-opening. And I know for some people it was really eye-opening. But Rich is absolutely right. Everybody else was there. I think there might have been one or two masks in the room, which is fine because if those people have health issues, that's their thing. They can take care of themselves. But it wasn't required. And Karen Ramstrom didn't even come and participate because we all know that she knows that she would have been booed out of the room. She would have been probably strung out on a rail there because of what she has done and what she has not done for our county. And she is an employee of the county. She works at the will of the board, who works at the will of the citizens. So remember that. When terminations come, her name needs to be one of the first to go as well. That needs to happen. When we get a new board, we start cleaning house. That absolutely has to happen. Because you, the taxpayers, are paying for every single thing that they do, either for you and or specifically against you.
you know, when you look at all the different things that are going on, and we will be discussing more about Keygate, key card gate. We have a situation where before the meeting last Tuesday, the key card of Patrick Jones, Les Baugh, the key card was neutralized where they couldn't get in the chambers.
His and Les's, right?
Pardon me?
His and Les Baugh's?
Yeah, it could have been all of them. But the point is that who has the authority to do it?
Nobody.
That's right. So Matt Pontes apparently had made the comment that he didn't do it. Well, maybe he didn't do it, but I'd like to know what he knows.
He gave direction for it to be done.
Well, maybe he did, and that's the point. I mean, see, the IT guy did it, so maybe right. The IT guy, if I'm Mr. Pontes right now, my pucker factor is probably about 11, you know, because,
absolutely.
You know, when you stop and think about that, you can't do that. I'm sorry. That's illegal. No one can neutralize a key card in the Board of Supervisors.
So that begs to the question of what I just said a few moments ago. What does Leonard have on Pontes?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking outside the box here. What does Leonard have on every single person he's in contact with? Everybody that is a puppet to him, what does he have on them? So what does he have on Pontes?
I don't know. I mean, there could be something maybe in his past. I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, there might be something there that they either overlooked or decided to ignore or... Well, they didn't ignore it. Here's the whole thing.
No, they're using it to their advantage.
Maybe someone could call in at 605-4567, 530-605-4567. I don't know. I doubt if Mr. Pontes is listening, but I'd sure like to hear his answer on this and see if, in fact, that, it had to have been someone like him that talk to the IT guy to neutralize that key card. Nobody can do that. No one can do that. Pontes does have the jurisdiction. If you're a county employee, he can do that. He can neutralize your key card to get in the main chambers there.
At the direction of the manager who oversees or supervisor who oversees you as an employee. If something happens there, yes, he can do that. He can give directive to do that.
To his employees.
Yes, he can do that.
Now, the sheriff actually was asked if he did it, and he did not do it.
Nope.
And also, from what I heard from several people who were at a forum, I believe, that the Republican women put on there at Cattleman's at 11 o'clock on, I don't know. Might have been... Thursday or Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, I heard from several people that he was asked that question, you know, if he had done that, and he said no, and he also was asked about Mary Rickard's threat. Remember she said she got a threat?
Yep.
And she said she knew who it was right there at the meeting?
Yep.
And then Les Baugh said, well, hey, if you know who it is, how come we don't know who it is, right?
Right, right.
And come to find out, according to the sheriff, that threat was months ago. It has nothing to do with the current situation. And Les did make a very... So then
there's not a current threat for her?
According to what was said, yeah, it wasn't current.
Oh, so she's getting herself really...
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, right. Well, here's the thing, too, that Les Baugh said, you know, frankly, shutting down the board chambers is actually less safe for someone who did get a threat. Because you're at home or you're somewhere else, you're at least if you're in the chambers, you're surrounded by deputy sheriffs and the sheriff himself.
And all the patriots.
And all the people in there. I mean, you know, we're going to get into that after the break. We'll get in more into key card gate and these quote threats. And are the threats against Leonard Modi, are those real or are they not real?
You mean they're fabricated?
Are they or are they not? Just a question.
Huh.
Just a question.
Make some marbles move around.
Yeah. Think about that. 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and time has come.
4:51.
Let's get it done.
Aim.
I will not be leaving quietly. You can mock me, try to outsmart me. You can shame me and try to blame me. You can do your best to shut me up. But I will not be leaving quietly now. I won't leave. I won't leave.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Take me to task, cause I don't want to wear a mask or take a vaccine that could maybe make me die. They got no science, they
back that crap up. Good job, Ashley. And for some reason...
This one was from Sally.
Leave it from Sally?
Leave it to Sally.
Last week.
Oh, last week, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we've had a little problem with our internet. Microsoft says we're sending out too many emails, so they shut us down.
Yeah, thank Bill Gates for that.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, gee whiz. The price of liberty.
Yeah.
Coming for us. Anyway, getting back into what we were talking about, you just discovered something.
Okay, you wanted the name of the association, right?
Yeah.
The Shasta County Sheriff's Administrative Association. And also the Shasta County Deputy Sheriff's Association.
Well, not on the recent. It was just the...
It was the first one, the Shasta County Sheriff's Administration.
Yes, that was the
most recent. Administrative Association.
Yes. That was the most recent.
Yeah.
That was a rebuttal because Leonard Modi...
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
A little slow on the uptake there.
Yeah, I had the other song playing at the same time, so... Give it to me again.
Kind of loser.
Leonard Modi.
Leonard Modi.
Kind of lost its luster there.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. But anyway, he had put forth some sort of flyer that talked about how they, you know, everybody was backing, law enforcement was backing him. Well, they're not backing him. There was a statement that was just put out by that particular group saying that they don't endorse anybody, they're not backing anybody, blah, 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 blah. So again, who's the liar?
Liar, liar.
Who's the liar? I mean, who is the liar? Who really is the liar? Huh? Okay.
I think it. Leonard Modi lied.
He censured himself.
He did.
He did. He censored himself with the Board of Supervisors, and then, after he censored himself and said he was sorry, kind of, he was appointed as the chairman of the board. They skipped over Les Baugh.
Because he's pulling strings again, because he's got something on Mary, he's got something on Joe.
You
Sorry,
think?
Just saying. It's obvious. So you're sitting there in the room, you watch this drama unfold. It's not even really drama, it's just chaos. You watch it unfold, it's like, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. And he's trying to protect himself and hoping he's going to be able to stay in power as the chair for the board, because then when he loses... What headlines is that going to be in the newspaper as well? Oh, maybe not the newspaper, but it'll be everywhere else.
You know, I had some threats from possibly the same person Les Baugh did. But I can't say. But I had some threats. And I carry a cell phone number of a particular police officer in my wallet. So I have it because I had some threats to myself, my wife. But I was told during those threats that unless it was something that was, kind of in front of me, that I could see it, that it wouldn't be something they really could pursue as much. Well, then, if Mary and Leonard got threats, was that the nature of the threats? And why is it that the FBI is involved? Why is the FBI involved in the investigation, quote-quote, of these threats, these quote-quote harmful threats, whatever they are? And what are they? And really and truly, I know that the sheriff has a task force that's looking into all this. We don't have enough deputies. We don't have enough of anything. But we're looking into all this stuff. And then the sheriff comes out with, well, you know, the stuff that happened to Mary Rickert, this stuff was like months. It happened months ago. Oh, okay. Well, then, really and truly, I mean, how much of this stuff is being fabricated by who? It's almost like, you know, you always hear, you know, whether or not someone is, you know, they're doing a good job. They're really a good person. They're this, they're that. But really and truly, you know, a little more transparency, like Les Baugh asked for.
Absolutely.
You know, he's going, well, if you know Mary, who, and then the sheriff is called in to get on this. This was during the supervisor meeting.
Yep.
The virtual one that we had the big screen outside.
Yep, yep.
Bunch of people out there. And so he wants to get the sheriff on there and say, hey, well, you know, Mary's saying she knows. Well, she knows. How come I don't know? How come we don't know? How come none of us know?
Right. Why is it a big secret?
Right. If you say something like she said, you know who did it, you're not saying, gee whiz, you know, there's a person of interest.
Right.
You know, you're saying, you know.
As fact.
That's what she said.
It was fact.
We know who did it. Oh, unless it's, okay, well, tell me. Might be the same guy that we think did it to me.
Right.
And how about the guy that did it to Patrick?
Yeah.
Hmm? Right. But that's okay. Patrick Jones and Jackie Jones can get a threat of being harmed and killed, report it to RPD, and nothing happens? Well, isn't he a sitting supervisor? And at the time, he was a sitting supervisor.
And his sister is a sovereign citizen.
Yeah, so how come we didn't hear anything about that?
Yeah.
And I wonder if the sheriff even knows about it. I went to the RPD. Does the sheriff know about it? Just crickets out there. I mean, really and truly, what happened?
See, this will be all part of the forensic audit, folks. All this stuff will come out, and no matter how far you go away from Redding, California, Shasta County, to save your own hide when you pull stunts like this, the long arm of the law will reach out and get you. And that's what they have to understand. They're going to pay the price. They're going to pay for it. They have to. Anything less is unacceptable.
Well, I'm just wondering why the sheriff didn't react to something that was actually more credible. I mean, I know they even got information off of Patrick's computer and what was sent to him, and
uh-huh.
You know, the fact there was a phone call, et cetera. Yet, you know, you're not hearing anything. I mean, it's just like, you know, the politics. Everybody seems to be kind of running scared. You know, again, the key card, that is so crazy when you stop and think about the fact that the key card of sitting supervisors were pulled by who? No one has the authority to do that with an elected official. No one has the authority to do it. Well, we do have Dolores on the line. Dolores, what say you?
Yeah, I had a question. Since Modi reported threats, you know, and he made it public, and that was his reason, one of his reasons why he closed the chamber. I was wondering, is it possible for the public, since he made this whole thing public, couldn't a public request for public record act and request for the emails and the threatened emails and request for Modi to provide a IP address for the network, because I know that the FBI will request that. So if he's saying the truth or if he's lying, that's going to come out, because the address, he will have to provide that to the FBI,
well,
the IP address.
You know, you're right, and you're absolutely right about the IP address. My question is, you know, this task force that apparently the sheriff put together, is that really what they're investigating? What are they investigating?
Right.
What's the FBI even doing there? What's the jurisdiction? Somebody please tell me. You can put it in the chat room, call in, 605-4567, 530-605-4567. Somebody tell me what gives the FBI jurisdiction to come in when there is a threat within the county. It's county jurisdiction. It's the sheriff's jurisdiction. What has the FBI got to do with it?
Well, and to, Dolores, to the information that you're just speaking about, most likely would be held in confidence with the investigative agency until they have everything they need. And then, my guess, maybe they could release it to a records request. But until then, they've got to keep it close to the breast just so they can make sure they can track down whoever the perpetrator is.
Well,
that would be my guess.
According to Mary, they know who it is, right? According to Mary, they know who it is.
Yeah, well, that's what she said. That's right.
She said that in public.
Yep.
All right. Well, I just thought I'd throw that out.
Yeah, good point.
Good
point.
Very good point. Thank you, Dolores.
Thank you, Dolores.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, so how does the FBI get jurisdiction on this? And, you know, you really wonder about what, I mean, let's just face it. Yes, I can say this. I know because I've said it before. But it seems to me like we got a lot of people needing to cover their asses.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just, yeah, I can say that. Huh?
They're going over.
I just got, oh, hey, brother, how you doing?
They're going over the top with that, and they're making sure that they do that so that the layers don't come down through others to get to them. They're just trying to keep themselves armed in armor, if you will, through a facade of security, and that's not going to happen. And, you know, another point that Dolores was asking about, you know, like with the FBI, and Terry was talking about with the FBI, it was shared on our chat room that if the threat was brought across state lines via the Internet or even through mail, and that's proven, that's why the FBI would be brought in.
Okay, so, let me get this straight. So if it went across state lines?
Yeah, so if they...
What does that mean?
If they live in Idaho and they're making the threat here. If they live in Texas.
Okay, so somebody in their basement in Idaho.
Yeah.
Okay, made a threat here.
Yeah.
So they're investigating here. Well, the FBI, don't they have, like, can't they get the IP address and all? Are you serious?
Well, it has...
I mean, that's just BS.
Well, if it's crossing state lines, that's probably why the FBI is involved in it. I don't know. I'm going by what was posted.
So you're sharing
the information.
Yeah. And you're...
Because I'm not law enforcement. I don't know those things.
And I've heard that, too.
Yeah.
I've heard that, too. So I'm trying to figure out still how that ties in. I mean, Mary knows who it is, right?
She says.
Mary knows who it is. Apparently, I think Les knows who it is, too. And I think that the only real threat was Les's threat, from what I understand. And we know that the threat to Patrick Jones was a threat. But I know that from what Patrick said on our show last week, that threat was local, again.
Yeah.
And there are people who believe that they're one and the same when it comes to... Some people believe that. They're one and the same when it comes to the person who threatened Patrick and the person who threatened Les. And if it is that person that threatened Patrick... That doesn't cross state lines.
Right.
You know? I mean, the FBI has been dinking around with a lot of this stuff. Okay? Are they... I mean, what is going on with them? What is the reasoning? You know, the sheriff is... it's like the other day he was on Carl's show, and he made the comment that, you know, he was a Second Amendment guy. He really was a stand-up Second Amendment guy, blah, 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 Second Amendment guy. Because what they were talking about was the situation of CCWs taking so long to get, 60 days, 90 days, maybe even further out than that. And so the sheriff was trying to streamline that. He had opened up the office on some weekends and things, trying to streamline all that. But someone had called in and asked, well, does that, on a California concealed weapons permit, does that include something that is a renewal? And he said, yes, it does. So the question to the sheriff was posed as, well, if that's a CCW renewal and it takes 60 days or so, maybe the person who wants to get their renewal should start the process 60 days before their current one expires. And if their current one expires, if in fact they are law-abiding citizens, which they would have to be, then if they carried anyway, would they be in violation of the law and could they get in trouble? And the sheriff said, yeah, technically, yeah. And I said, well, technically, no. Why is it that they even need permission for a right? Why is the Second Amendment the only right in anything in the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution of California that you need permission for? And his comment to me at one point was, well, I won't allow. Well, if you won't allow, then it's not a right.
How does he have jurisdiction over allowing?
I mean, you know, I'm so tired of these guys mouthing off their second. You're not a Second Amendment sheriff. You're not following the Second Amendment. You are not a Second Amendment or a constitutional sheriff if you are abiding in this. It's unlawful. I don't care if it's legal, it's unlawful. And the oath of office is the oath of office in Article 20 in the California Constitution that specifically states the job and your job as sheriff is to stand up and protect the rights of us, of the people. That's your only job. And if this is a right, you need to protect it. And if the law is unlawful, you don't follow that law.
He's supposed to interpose between us, the sovereign citizens, and the state. That's his job. So if the state requires permits, he needs to say, not in my county. He needs to stand up and say, no, it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't work that way. I took an oath to the federal constitution in this order. Federal constitution, state constitution. Those are the two oaths that he took to uphold the constitution and everything it stands for, which also includes the Second Amendment. So keep that in mind, folks. Those are the things that they absolutely have to be held to account to. All the other stuff that they do, all the other stuff is minutiae, is just busy work, is just garbage. This stuff is important. If we don't have this, we have nothing else.
Well, yeah, you know, and also taking credit for that marijuana task force, that wasn't the sheriff's idea. That was Patrick Jones's motion. That was Patrick Jones that brought that forward. The sheriff is implementing that. He didn't create it. He's implementing it.
Right.
And basically, Magrini never did.
At the directive of the board.
At the directive of the board, yeah. You know, I'm getting tired of, you know, we have to start standing up and really finding out what's going on with these guys, you know. And, I mean, that's just unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. So this task force to look into these threats, okay, apparently, you know, when you have a sitting supervisor like Patrick Jones naming on a public radio station a program who the person is who threatened him, and you're telling me that the FBI doesn't know who threatened Les Baugh? And you're telling me that it crossed state lines? So what? It's this guy, keyboard warrior somewhere in Kansas, down in his mother's basement? Seriously? And they don't know who that is? How much of this crap are we going to all swallow till we call them liar? Till we call them liars? How much crap do we swallow? How far down this rabbit hole do we go? Forensic audit. Absolutely correct, my friend. A forensic audit. And then these people have to go.
Yep.
They've got to go. And quit using your power. And they use the power to intimidate.
And it's not just that they're going to go. They're going to be penalized by within an inch of their lives, so to speak, for everything that they can be penalized for under the code of law. So if they're not doing their job and they're violating everything that they were elected to do or hired to do, and they're violating all that, they need to be held to that account. And if it's punishable by law, and punishable by, say, prison, fines, or anything else, they need to have everything thrown at them, the entire book, every one of them for every penalty. And I know several of them have done this with several things, so each one of those penalties is held accountable to that penalty alone, and then they can be all added up for the penalty and the fines. None of this negotiation, none of this trying to get out of it halfway, none of that. It's going to be, they're going to be made examples of all the way through, because if we're going to clean house, we're cleaning house. We're getting all the scum out. We have to do that. That is our job as sovereign citizens. It's our civic duty to pay attention to these things. We have to do it. We have to do it for our children, our grandchildren, and God bless, hopefully we'll be able to see it all happen. But we need to do that. Anything else, anything less is unacceptable and non-negotiable. That should not happen.
What the hell is a misfeasance? You know, it's funny because we had an attorney from Sacramento who spoke at the Board of Supervisors meeting about a month ago.
It's a CYA is what it is.
Yeah, it is. It was really funny because he said, I had to look up misfeasance. I couldn't even find it anywhere. And who lowered it? Did the DA lower it? Did she lower it? Was it the DA's office?
Who has the jurisdiction and authority to do that? And that's
I would think the DA's office.
Okay, that's
why.
Well, because, again, they're all part of the same sewer. They're doing the same stuff. I mean, when you hear enough of the same stories over and over again, and if there's a little bit of smoke, there's got to be some fire. There's got to be some truth to it. So maybe they're just as guilty as he is for what was going on during the car fire.
Yeah, you know, when Carlos Zapata went to court, there were three assistant DAs on that case, three of them, folks, for a low-level infraction is what it ended up being, a low-level infraction, lower than a parking ticket. It took days and days and hours and lots and thousands of dollars. Now, I heard that these guys had bodyguards with them, okay? So we've been investigating that one. Well, why would three assistant DAs need bodyguards, number one? And I did ask one particular person that, quote, stands to be in the know or says they're in the know, and the comment that this fellow made was, well, the DA felt like she had been threatened, like she was being threatened. Okay, well, let me get this straight. She was never in the courtroom. She was never even there. So if she's not there, isn't that kind of like saying, okay, well, let's see. We have a witness in protective custody over here, and they're being protected, and they were harmed, and they're in a hospital room, and we put a couple of police officers outside. But wait a minute, we'll move them to another room. How dumb is that? How can you possibly – she's the one who needed the protection, according to what I was told by this one source. If she needed protection or felt she needed protection, why'd she send her protection to court? She's not even there.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you stop and you think about all this dumb oh, boy, I almost slipped. I was good, wasn't I? You know, oh, boy, she's watching me. These dumb.
Yes.
Anyway, those guys. I mean, how dumb do they think we are? How dumb are we? I mean, really and truly, well, she felt like she was being threatened. Really? I'm going to swallow that? Okay, I'm being threatened, so I'm going to send who's protecting me somewhere else.
Yeah.
Duh. You know, it's like Les Baugh made the best comment. He goes, I would have felt safer rather than being at home in a virtual meeting in the Board of Supervisors chamber where I know I had people, I had protection, and I had sheriff deputies there rather than being at home where, you know, I'm sitting in front of my computer. I'm not as well protected. Are you serious? I mean, come on. How much of this are we supposed to swallow? And it's almost like, well, we have this investigation, and the investigation is something to where we have to really, you know, we're still looking at all the sources, the resources. We're looking at everything we need to look at right now. We need to check everything out. We need to do this thorough investigation. Really? Well, if it's some guy in their basement in Kansas, because we have to have the FBI here now to investigate a quote death threat, to Leonard? Really? What was that threat, Leonard? Because Leonard Moti. believes that there was a threat. Really, Leonard? How many people have you threatened? You threaten everybody. You threaten people at the Board of Supervisors meeting.
He just follows through with his threat.
Yeah. You verbally threaten them. I'm not saying the extent or extreme of that threat, but a threat of one little gal, maybe 100 pounds soaking wet, standing there trying to not be interrupted, and you're telling her that the deputy sheriff is going to remove her, and you got to take your hat off to that deputy sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't budge.
Didn't move a muscle.
He didn't move a muscle. He didn't even look up.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously?
Yeah.
You know, when you stop and think about it, Leonard Modi. Needs to go.
Amen.
And we need to get this thing done. I want to encourage everybody to vote on February the 2nd.
First.
February the 1st. Thank you.
Tuesday, February the 1st.
That's right. Tuesday, February the 1st.
Yep.
You and vote on the 2nd if you're voting against the recall, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Did you hear her? Okay.
She's always thinking outside.
Who doesn't love Travis and Ashley, huh? I mean, you know.
They keep us in line.
They are keepers, those two. One of the brighter spots of this place. Anyway, I digress. What we have to do is make sure that we're standing up and we're not submitting. Not just not complying, but not submitting to this tyranny. And also, aren't we the boss?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an upside-down pyramid. It comes from the people all the way down to the point, which is the Board of Supervisors and everything else in between. That we are their employers. Don't forget that. Everybody has to remember that. Our tax dollars support them, and they are to work at our will. They're voted in our district, five districts. So if you live in one district, that's who you vote for. But they all represent you. All five of them represent you. So don't think that it's not going to affect you if you don't participate in, say, the recall or any support of somebody running against somebody that should be replaced. Don't think that way, because that's not true. You have to support those who you strongly believe are the right ones to be in those positions. And once they're in there, help them to do a better job by enabling them to have information, to do what they need to do, and know what they need to know about the circumstances, out in your specific district or just countywide in general.
You know, to me, as I look over what I've seen in this particular county, I don't think I've seen corruption at this level with all the things that have been going on ever in any county that we've ever worked with. And we've worked with 23.
Yep.
And been with boards of supervisors. And it isn't like this everywhere, folks.
Nope.
It isn't really like this everywhere. I mean, you know, there are issues, there's problems, but not like this county. Mm-mm. The corruption level of this county is beyond the pale. And the people that are just swallowing it and believing stupid things like, you know, a person gets threatened, so what they do is they send their bodyguards to somebody else. I mean, how can you even verbalize that? I mean, or the situation of a person censuring themselves, like Leonard Modi.
Dun, 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 dun.
Who did this, censors himself, and then becomes the chairman of the board for doing something that was illegal. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. There is no justification. It's crazy. Absolutely. How many lies are you going to believe? Share this program with people. I mean, we'd like to, but Microsoft shut us down. Share this and make sure you share, and you don't have to do it on this, or maybe you do, the Chair Modi video. Share that. Go search engine that. Go to Facebook. Make a comment. I mean, whatever you believe, make a comment. After watching that, and watch the Red, White, and Blue Print Episode 7. It's 35 minutes of your time you'll be glad you spent.
Yep.
And comment on that. Get involved. Get engaged. Get involved in your community. Get involved in the Board of Supervisors. Go to these meetings. Go out there and hammer it. And more and more and more and more of us are waking up.
And it's not just the Board of Supervisors. It's
City Council.
School board. You have to go to your school boards as well, because after being at that event yesterday, the school boards absolutely need to be taken care of. They
absolutely
need to be cleaned out. They need to be redone, because they're still masking the kids. And every one of those healthcare professionals up there yesterday said, do not do that to children. Every one of them. So you need to make sure that we're paying attention to what's going on. We need to watch our kids.
Well, with that, we've come to the end of our program. Please share this. Make sure you stay tuned for Sovereign Minds. I'm sure they're going to have a lot to talk about. And time has come
for 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
see the bill we all have to pay. It's not our bill. We have no say. Don't serve us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.